Oh my gosh, it's Tuesday already. How about that? Hey everybody, I'm Larry Jacobs. Welcome to May 24th, 2022. This is 3K12 Education Talk Radio, and yes, it's a Tuesday already. Imagine that. Hey, welcome to today's show. We have a very interesting lady as a guest today. I'll bring her on in just a second. Her name is Nadine Levitt, and she is a global education expert, and she specializes in, I'll call it social-emotional learning, emotional intelligence. We'll find out her background. She's founded several ed tech companies, including Wurly, which is W-U-R-R-L-Y, Wurly, EDU. We'll spell that again for you, okay? And My Mama Says, which is a social-emotional learning site that has to do, well, she'll tell you all about it, okay? And other things as well. So this is really interesting. We're going to talk about the future of education through creativity and innovation, and I have a feeling Nadine is a very creative and innovative person. It's going to be a nice conversation. We're going to archive the show over at ace-ed.org. That's the home website of our American Consortium for Equity in Education, ace-ed.org. And over there, you can link to our teacher retention site, which is teacher-retention.com, our social-emotional learning resource center, which is seltoday.org. Again, all these are linked. We also are running our Excellence in Equity Awards, and we'd like you to nominate everybody by June 30th. All the rules are over there, but you can nominate even yourself. But you can nominate your colleagues, your friends, people you work with, companies you work with. If you work at a company, you can nominate its products, etc. And we're going to look at all that together and go from there. And all of a sudden, I got trouble with my mouse here. What's going on? Let's see if I can break it here. Hold on. What's going on here? There we go. Well, something's nuts. All right, let's see here. Wait a minute, I want to get over. So anyway, check out ace-ed.org. I'm hoping this works. Oh, wow. Nadine, are you there?
Yes, I am here.
Good. All of a sudden, my mouse, I have two mice. Is that the way it looks? Two mice going on at the same time. I got two cursor arrows running. Okay, I never had that before.
You know, Mercury is in retrograde, they say, so maybe it's something to do with that.
When the moon is in the seventh house and Jupiter arises.
Exactly.
So anyway, I was worried I wouldn't be able to move the mouse, but I can with my finger. Boy, this is just weird today. I don't know what's going on here. Well, just because hi, Nadine. Welcome, and I know you're in
Hello.
L.A., aren't you? Are you in California?
No, actually, I'm in Austin.
Oh, cool. Even close. I was worried you were in California, and it was so early in the day, being 6:03 or something in the morning. But it's only it's 8:03, so we're in good shape in Austin.
Very respectable hour, yes.
It is indeed, and Austin is a pretty cool place. Are you from California originally, or are you a Texas girl?
And no, I'm actually from New Zealand originally. So I was born in Switzerland, of all places, and then grew up in New Zealand most of my life, and then came to the States in 2004. And I lived in L.A. from 2004 until 2020. And then as part of the mass exodus, I guess, with the pandemic, that moved to Austin.
Yeah.
So,
wow, how about that? Switzerland and New Zealand, you're my first Swiss Kiwi I've ever had on, for goodness sake. There you go. I knew it would happen eventually. I knew it would happen eventually, and here it is today. May 24th, I get a Swiss Kiwi on board. Okay, and it's great. Okay, what a nice, cool background, I got to tell you. And we're going to talk about that. You are really a smart lady, and feel free. Why don't we I just want to go over the things you do so you can get a good plug in here. Tell everybody, before we get into the philosophy of all this, mm-hmm. Wurly, W-U-R-R-L-Y, Wurly, E-D-U. What is that? Tell everybody.
Correct.
That's cool,
okay.
By the way.
So,
yeah.
So it's Wurly EDU, and what it really is a content portal for music education. So it's an arts education ed tech platform. But think of it a little bit like a content portal. So it's like a YouTube with, videos. But instead of just having the videos, we have lesson plans, we have videos, we have all sorts of lesson plans, videos, and songs. And then we also have creation tools for students. So it's an ability for students to feel a little bit like they're on a TikTok type of thing and they're creating. But the point of it all is actually to teach social and emotional skills through the gateway of music. So we, in the moment, teach. Yeah, so rather than just saying, hey, Larry, let's learn this song, which if you're not really wanting to be a musician, you kind of switch off at that point and you stop paying attention because it's not important to you. But if I say, hey, Larry, let's learn this song, but this is just problem solving 101. So what do we do with the problem solving? We break it down into bite-sized, you know, into bite-sized chunks, recognize patterns, create a schedule, so on and so forth. So that's what Whirly EDU is.
I can't wait to hear your background because that's pretty clever. And what grades is it from? What grades is it?
It's K through 12. The tools themselves are applicable across all K through 12 education. It's probably the sweet spot is from about third grade up when kids can read, so they can really start to navigate by themselves. But even younger kids love to create and record themselves, yeah.
Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And what is, which I love, My Mama Says, what's that? I did look at it, and it looks like it's I'll say it this way, you explain it better. Social-emotional learning products, literally. Tell me what it is.
Correct.
My Mama Says.
My own kids were having a hard time with big emotions, and so I started looking around at what was around and hoping not to have to reinvent the wheel. But what I found was that every program that I saw was actually teaching emotions singularly. So this is what happiness looks and feels like, and this is what sadness looks and feels like. But the problem with that is they never show up for us like that. We never feel one emotion alone. We always feel many emotions. And so and they influence each other. So we have to start teaching them in groups. So happiness, for example, when it comes with excitement and nervousness, because you're about to jump on a roller coaster, looks and feels really, really different to happiness with gratitude and in love and cuddling up on the couch. So we teach it in a group concept where you start to see all the emotions that are kind of friends and that tend to come together and how they can look and feel different.
Very nice. And also you have a PD site called PD Reimagine. I did look at that too. I mentioned, I don't know if you heard at the beginning, we have our teacher retention site. We're real concerned about that. I know your site has to do with that type of training as well. All right, we'll talk about that. Be my guest.
Yeah. Sure. It is.
Well, actually, you are my guest, so feel free to talk about it. You already are my guest. Feel free to talk about it.
Yes. So PD Reimagined is a teacher wellness. So, you know, I'm also very, very concerned. I've been concerned about teacher attrition for a long time, pre-pandemic
even.
It's
bad in Texas where you are.
Yeah,
terrible.
It was bad everywhere, honestly. And it's a huge equity issue because at the moment it's 55% of teachers that are looking to leave in the next 12 months or thinking about
it.
And if even half those people leave, it will crumble our education system, especially the public education.
10% of them leave. 10% of them leave.
Yeah.
It will crumble.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
So what we've done is we've basically looked at, okay, what happens in a corporate setting? Because I come kind of from a non-traditional trajectory. So I was an international trade lawyer first. And I was in that corporate world, and then I was a touring opera singer. So I have that creative side too, and I bring
you
those.
Wait a minute! In your beautiful accent, you were touring. You were a touring opera singer.
Mm-hmm.
Did you say
yeah,
that?
Yeah, so I was a touring. Yes, I was.
You're not going to get away so easy, my friend. Tell us about that. It's not that easy to get out of that sentence. Go ahead.
I grew up singing with Opera New Zealand and the Young Artist Program and so forth. And then when I came here, I focused on law for a little bit, but I would sing every night for 2.5 hours. And so my husband, who was my boyfriend at the time, was like, look, if you're serious about it, you should go back to it and, like, really pursue it. And so I ended up singing, it sounds so random, but I ended up getting an opportunity to sing with the professional bull riding of all things. And so I was singing the national anthems. I'm actually singing the national anthem today at the Carry the Load event for the Vets. And so I got to sing. Yeah, yeah. And then I was at Indy 500 singing on the main stage there, singing Nessun Dorma with all sorts of really cool fireworks. And then I got to meet David Foster and got to tour around with him and all of his artists and got to share stages with Bocelli and I sang a duet with Seal. It was like really an amazing experience.
Wow.
And yeah, so, but then I had kids, and the last thing I wanted to do was be on the road. And,
sure.
And so
you were there a lot. Yeah. Wow, what a great background. This is incredible, Nadine.
Yeah.
Okay, and someday I'll pay to stop. Well, I expect a backstage pass when you become world famous for your singing.
Oh,
so we'll go from there. That's really, really, really cool. Now, you may continue. We were just talking about the teacher retention challenge. Yeah, go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt. I certainly did mean to interrupt because that was so fascinating, but you can get back to what we were talking about. Go ahead.
So funny. So I ended up looking at what happens in a corporate world when morale is low. So when and there's a lot of research that has been put into this, a lot of money has been invested into finding out how do you improve morale in a corporate setting. And so we started to look at that. So one thing is they bring in motivational speakers to come and talk to people and shift mindset. And there's Helen Imordino Yang has done beautiful research on exactly what happens to the brain when we're inspired. So it's like a quick hit that can shift mindset. And it actually can shift it long term, but often it's like a short-term hit, and then you have to do other things to maintain it. But inspirational speakers to shift mindsets. And then tooling people up for self-care so that they can learn how to take care of themselves. And what we found is teachers are really not very good at self-care. They're giving people. And they just, the concept of self-care to them in their heads was really like, oh, this means an hour and a half of yoga, and I don't have an hour and a half to spare.
Yes.
But that's not what we're talking about with self-care. So we started thinking about how can we provide a toolkit and a resource kit that we can really explain and have them experience so that they can do it. And it's as simple as listening to a song in between classrooms to refuel you, for example.
Music.
Or having, or having like some breath work or going for a walk or something along those lines. And then we also thought about how do you increase their sense of value, because I think so many teachers feel undervalued right now, and it's not just about pay, because I do think, you know, there's more money in education than there's ever been, and yet the morale is lower than it's ever been.
Agreed.
So how do we increase the pay? And actually the military is a really good example of how we can do this, because it's a similar job in some ways. It's a really, really hard job. It's actually pretty low pay compared to what the work is. Benefits are great, but the honor that is attached to being a vet or being an active service member of the military is such a palpable, honor. So you really feel it when you walk into a room with someone, you say thank you for your service. You're on a plane, you see someone, thank you for your service. And if we could even tap into like 3% of that for teachers, I think it would make a remarkable difference. And so what we've done with PD Reimagine is emulated this concept, which is let's honor, celebrate, and develop teachers. And we're here for them. We create a community for them. We bring in these really great inspirational thought leaders and speakers that they don't know who it is. They get care packages every month delivered to their door.
Nice.
Every month it's a different theme, and they get different things that they're learning about. But they get these very sort of bespoke experiences with people that they would normally never meet, whether it's an astrophysicist or whether it's never someone to do with education. It's like we were lucky enough to have Chris Harrison and Lauren Zima on our show. We had Antonio Villaraigosa, who's the old mayor of L.A., the former mayor of L.A., and we had some really, really amazing people who came and spoke with the teachers, and then they break it down, they work in peer groups, and they say, what's the biggest aha moment for me? And then how can I, and they collectively strategize, how can they use this for themselves to refuel and re-energize for the next month? And then they try it, they make a commitment to try something for the next month and report back to us on how that went. So that's the program. We're almost finished with our pilot, and so far it's been a huge, huge success. Lovely. So we're looking at scaling that. We've had 100% of the teachers who participated said that this could be the difference between them coming and going.
Oh, so wonderful. Congratulations. That's wonderful. And,
yeah.
And I love, and again, the music background makes a lot of sense. I want to ask you something. I like what you're doing. You're real. I said it at the beginning. It sounds like you're a smart lady, and I think you are. I think you're a smart lady.
Thank you.
I really do. Okay.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome, Nadine. And, you know, you are an expert, if I may. I'm like the Wizard of Oz. I hereby deem you an expert. Okay, with the green screen things and the smoke and all that. You're now an expert. Congratulations, the medal will be sent to you.
I love
okay?
it. I can hear the music.
No problem. I'm like the Wizard of Oz here. Okay, but you are an expert. You obviously have this incredible thing towards social emotional learning and its value. Okay, within education, I think you're implying that to the teachers as well, if I may. Okay, the sense of
absolutely
and confidence and all that sort of thing. And I'm curious, okay, and I think everybody else will be curious as well, your background. How did you get so involved in SEL, which is very, very important these days? Okay, as you heard, we have SELtoday.org, which is a site we have as a resource center. We're really concerned about it, so go ahead.
Yeah,
please.
I think I've always been fascinated. I've always been fascinated with why certain people – it tends to be people that have high self-regulation and self-management skills are just better at both, you know, professionally and even at school. Like it dawned on me that social and emotional skills were such a foundational element to learning, to building meaningful relationships, to responsible decision making. And it really is a huge indicator of later happiness and success in life. So I really think, especially with the pandemic, I really think about, well, what is the purpose of education? What is the purpose of school? Why are we having all these people going to school, and what's the real purpose? I believe that the purpose should be to instill sort of this curiosity, this love of learning, so that everyone is a lifelong learner, because I do believe we are lifelong learners, and that we love the process of learning, and we learn how to follow our curiosity and apply learned knowledge in order to develop further, right? So that's kind of follow the journey of curiosity so we can keep developing our knowledge base. And some of that is actually understanding how our brain works. And so I love some of the work that people like Goldie Horn and the team at MindUp are doing. Because it really shows people like what's actually happening in the brain and what's happening with emotions in particular. And something that I think, you know, when you look at like overwhelm and things like that, it's really important to remember is that the hippocampus of our brain, which basically controls the going in and going out of information, right? So it's like the learning and memory. So it's the recall of information as well as the intake of information can only ever inhabit one thing at a time. It has kind of a waiting room area where you can have other things that pop in and out and it can transition quickly. But there's no real sort of multitasking thing. There's no time when you have two things in that hippocampus. And so what happens with big emotions, they can hijack our brain, the hippocampus, so that you literally don't have room for other things to inhabit that space in your brain. And so you have to first process whatever emotions are going in there so that you can then open it up for learning. And a good example of that is, very recently, like 2 weeks ago, lost my giant schnauzer. He died. He was 13 years old. I know. It was
devastating. It's a good life, but that's painful. I got to tell you, that's no joke.
It is.
Okay.
I hate losing a pet.
It's horrible. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Yeah. You know it's coming, and you know they've had a wonderful long life, but it doesn't make it any easier. So, I'm almost done with my master's in education leadership right now. I had a deadline. Thank you. I had a deadline for something, and I tried desperately to kind of the next day read this academic sort of study, And I think I read the same paragraph 30 times.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, I need to heed my own advice and stop and think about all the emotions that are actually, you know, in, you know, flowing through me right now, and process them and let them be there. And so part of that is identifying them. And so one of the issues that I have with a lot of SEL programs, one of the hugely sort of transformational things I feel about our program is that you're not just looking at that loudest emotion. So obviously grief, right, is a pretty loud emotion. But you're going beyond just grief and you're looking at what other emotions are there, right? There's a little fear, there's a little guilt, there's a little love, there's a little anger, there's so many different emotions that are swirling around.
Yes, there is. Good point.
And so if you're only dealing with one of them, you're not actually looking at the full message that these emotions are signposting for you. And so it's really powerful to be able to take a minute or an hour and really sort of identify what emotions, and it helps actually also to have prompts, to have a list of emotions maybe in front of you, because sometimes it's hard to think exactly what's in there, and sort of go through a list and say, am I feeling this? Checking in with yourself, I don't think so, or yes, or whatever, and writing it down. And when you write that down, then you can, at the end of it, you can have this sort of fuller picture of what they couldn't be signposting, because they're all actually, all emotions are just messengers, and they're just trying to help us lead a fulfilling and meaningful life. And so grief, for example, you need grief and sadness, because that's what gives you the perspective to really enjoy joy. It signposts what is it that connects us and makes and fulfills us, and it's grieving the loss of that, right? But we can use that to say, I want that again. I want to find experiences again that have the same, what exactly in that situation was so fulfilling for me that I've now lost.
Nice.
Or anger, nice. And that's a great example. Anger is like a wonderful motivator for change. Nothing in our history would have happened but for anger. So when we look at these sorts of things and we start to think, well, how can we use these emotions to actually fuel us to respond in a way that's most helpful to us rather than just being reactive.
Channeling the anger in the right direction, I think is what you're saying there.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I think part of that is also identifying the emotions themselves, the emotional responses are something that you cannot control. That's going to come, it's going to go. But the thought patterns and the behaviors that come with them often, so, you know, we're programmed to recognize patterns and automate our behavior. But what's interesting is that when we have certain thought patterns, they're not very helpful to us. And so we start to spiral in a really unhelpful way. So I always like to say to kids, it's okay to feel angry. It's not okay to punch somebody. And so the behavior can be controlled. The thought patterns actually can be controlled. So you can train yourself to have more helpful thought patterns and behaviors.
I told you she was a smart lady. I told you, everybody, this is a smart lady, okay? And, you know, which brings up an interesting point. And Nadine, this is cool. I mean, you're getting your, by the way, congratulations again. A, you're getting your master's in educational leadership. May I assume from the University of Texas, or have you turned?
No. I went back home so that I could have some New Zealand accents in my life. So I'm doing it at the Auckland University in New Zealand online.
Okay.
So, yeah. I love this. Deirdre Lefevre is one of the lecturers there who used to be at University of Michigan, who I'm a big fan of. We do a lot of work with the University of Michigan. So, also a shout out to Elizabeth Moji at the University of Michigan. But it's, you know, I think that there's so much work to be done, and I haven't keeping that sort of global perspective is something that I find very important.
And of course, your background, Swiss, New Zealand, California, Texas, okay? You're working your way back around the world. Okay? It's really fascinating. By the way, you were already, I just want to make this point. You're a lawyer, right? You're a lawyer?
Yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, you're already a Juris Doctor, so you are Dr. Levitt, although lawyers don't use that terminology. And I have a feeling you're probably going to get this doctorate in education. And, right, but you are something. But, you know, take all that. It's actually, I think, a very good question. All right? We know that social-emotional really matters, and as you well know, it has become somewhat political, although that's dying down a bit now. And that political side mm-hmm. was absurd. Okay, from the get-go, mm-hmm. it's another thing to hang a ridiculous hat mm-hmm. on, okay? And mm-hmm. that's kind of dying down a little bit, I hope, et cetera. We're very concerned about the SEL. But what you know now, your degree in educational leadership and you're caring about the social-emotional learning and neuroscience, which I think, okay, is something that's sometimes too well overlooked in when we teach teachers how to become teachers, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, I always say teaching is an art, but education is actually a science. I have a BS, I bet you do too, in education.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't know
mm-hmm.
if you do, but I do. It's a BS, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And when I was in school, they didn't even know we had brains, let alone how brains work, okay? I was there so
yeah.
long ago. But it is, you know, we do know how people learn. So taking what you know, there's a long roundabout way to ask the question, talk about the future of education. And what I think is important about the way you're saying it is, what's the implications of SEL in the future of education and the way kids are taught in the future? I mean, things are changing
yeah.
out there. What's your thoughts? Nadine.
It's definitely changing.
My very bright new friend, Nadine Levitt, everybody.
It's a very interesting question. So I hope that what we're going to be seeing is a little bit less siloed education. So at the moment, you know, you've got math being taught in math class, English being taught in English class, and so on and so forth.
Yeah.
But what we've seen is that the best cultures in schools actually happen through collaborative communities. And so
absolutely
connecting the dots a little bit more so that there's more collaboration between staff so that the mm-hmm. content can work together
yes,
so that you can also build more community and co-create more. Also building more meaning-making for kids so that you're teaching. And I think math is a great example, actually, the pedagogy behind math.
Well, music, I got news for you. I think music's a great example.
Yep.
But you go ahead. Yeah.
True, but music hasn't quite – I mean, we're doing it, but I think we're the only people who are doing it.
I have to stop you. My favorite mm-hmm. – one of my favorite thoughts about all this,
mm-hmm.
music is mathematics, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And most people don't really – get that, but music is mathematics, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And when my son used to live down in New Orleans, I used to go down there, me and my wife, and we'd go to Mardi Gras and all that, and you'd see these incredible parades and these high school parades, okay, of these incredible high school students who were fantastic musicians and loved music. You could see it in the way they prayed it. Yet you look at the math scores in education in New Orleans, and they're terrible, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And my point being that somehow the school districts of New Orleans, the parish down there, okay, hasn't figured out that kids, New Orleans and the kids' love of music, they could teach better mathematics using that, okay?
So
and they're not doing it. And that's when I talk with you. You're right about breaking down silos. Nobody thinks for 45 minutes about Dickens, then stops thinking of that and thinks about the Declaration of Independence for the next 45 minutes. People don't
exactly.
think like that. Okay?
Yeah.
And so I guess I'm getting emotional here, but my point is I agree with you wholeheartedly. These silos
yeah,
need to be broken down. I'm sorry to interrupt. Once again, it's my show. I can do what I want. But please, go ahead. Okay? It's just
No.
Really,
I love
the
passion. I love it.
Yeah.
I think what you're touching on, though, is the same thing as exactly that.
It is.
What I'm saying is that it's more meaning-making. So if you can see – how you might apply something and it might actually relate to something that's important to you, then you're more likely to take that information in. And I would love to see music being more integrated so that music makes you feel something. So, like, for example, rather than just teaching kids the difference in kindergarten, teaching them the difference between living and non-living things by a definition that they have to learn, why not send a rap song that happens to have that definition?
Bingo.
As part of
Thank you.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And then
they can learn it
that way. Yeah. Another example might be, you know, if you're studying something in history or space travel, for example, rather than just reading the articles or whatever, say, okay, we're gonna read all these things, but the purpose of reading them is so that you can make a music video, and you have to put at least, you know, 5 or 10 facts that are factually accurate from these journals into your music video. You can get creative. Do whatever you want. Now you can co-create. Now they're taking ownership in it, and there's a point to their reading. They're actually collecting these facts that they're going to use. And then it's not just learning it the one time. You're now learning it multiple times because you're learning it when you're first reading it, you're learning it when you're creating the music video, and you learn it again because the shock value when you see yourself on screen or when you see the music video, there's emotions attached to that again. And so the experience of watching yourself do something is very different to what, you know, actually just the experience of doing something. So you actually have that same memory. It's a much, much deeper learning. So that's an example of, like, how music can be really, really helpful for integrated
art.
And I don't think, you know, we don't teach math to be a mathematician or science to be a scientist or English to be a writer.
Yes.
I don't know why we teach music to be a musician from the outset.
Yeah, we need big changes. And the other thing I want to ask you, we got to leave in a few minutes, but, you know, one of the things I think is really missing in teacher education, we're asking teachers, and, you know, you're involved in this like we are, you know, we have all these SEL programs to augment what teachers have to teach kids, okay, these days. But we're not teaching teachers how to teach it when they're in education school, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I think SEL, you know, with your background and your caring about social-emotional learning and the future of education, that question I asked a few minutes ago, I think we have to really get educators educated about SEL, not just something that after they graduate college, we give them some extra curriculum so they can teach it, but incorporate it into everything they do so they really understand it. What are your thoughts on that about the training of teachers regarding SEL? And I'm asking you because you're a smart person. Again, Nadine, you're smart. Talk to me. Yeah.
Thank you. I think it needs to be integrated into the fabric of the school. So, like, school leaders can do a lot, actually, too. So a lot of teachers, like, if you're a, for example, math teacher, if you're a math teacher, you may not think that it's your job to teach social and emotional skills. But here's the issue with that is if it's not integrated into your everyday culture of the school and everybody's not using the same language, it actually does harm that social emotional development to those kids. And so everybody needs to be informed and really have deep understanding of what it means to be emotionally intelligent, what the approach should be, what is a healthy approach to emotional processing. And a lot of teachers now, the whole point, right, is about building a relationship with students that is built on trust and respect, and also the staff and school leaders and teachers. And then having this right balance between support and challenge. And I think when you have that, you continue to develop, whether you're a student or whether you're a teacher who's continuing to develop. And I think understanding how your own emotions work, so overwhelm is a wonderful example to actually train teachers, because every single teacher I have spoken to feels overwhelmed.
The issue
with that is that overwhelm is tapping into our nervous system, central nervous system. It's drowning out our central nervous system, and it makes us reactive rather than responsive. And so, and it completely shuts down all problem-solving capabilities. And so the quicker we can get out of overwhelm, the better, especially when you're leading whether you're leading a classroom or whether you're leading a family or whether you're leading, you know, a school. You want to get out of that overwhelmed feeling as quickly as possible. And so that's a wonderful way to teach about social emotion, at least about emotional processing, because it's about something that actually helps them with a real problem they have in their life. And then they can apply it for the students too.
As mentioned, you're a smart lady. Hey, Nadine, if people want to get in touch with you, what's the best place to do that?
So you can find me on all socials at Mrs. Worley, so MrsWurrly. You can also, including LinkedIn, and you can also find me at contact@worley.com, W-U-R-R-L-Y.com.
Well, okay, thank you. I'm going to make sure they had that, okay? We'll be in touch. I enjoyed talking to you. Hopefully we can do some more together. I hope you enjoyed yourself here today. I certainly did.
Thank you so much for having me. This was a blast.
That was a blast.
I
you
wish
are
you a
my favorite. You're my favorite Swiss Kiwi in the whole world. That's all I can tell you.
I may be the only one.
Thank you again. I don't know. Thanks, AD. You take care. It's a pleasure to know you. Take care. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye. You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, everybody. That's Nadine Levitt. Nadine is, you heard it all, okay? It's pretty cool. All right? We're going to archive over at ace-ed.org. I'm Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Check out all the things we do at ace-ed.org, the podcast, teacher retention, our awards program, Excellence in Equity, SEL Today, et cetera, et cetera. It's all over there. Check it out. Thanks for listening.